bless you. Lord, we thank you. And it is, again, so humbling, seemingly so inefficient to say just two words. In light of all that you've done and all that you're yet going to do, the journey of which we've already traveled, the great distances already undertaken, the food, the clothing, the shelter, the safety. And just two words just don't seem to be enough. Really, Lord, we ought to reply with you by essay to just attempt to describe how humbling and grateful we are. But we do express it by saying thank you. And in this moment, Lord, that we've now come, the preaching moment is upon us. People have gathered and they're waiting. Hear what you will say to the church. It's your church, your people, your sheep. Your voice is the only voice that really matters in this moment. And so, God, speak to us. Is there a word from the Lord? Need a rhema, an end time word, one with clarity, one with power. Transform our lives from sinners to saints, from the lost to the found, from the rejected to the redeemed. Only your word can do these things. Now, Lord, be it so in our lifetime. In this moment that is ours to share. Please, God, again, do what old folk been telling us, that you look beyond our faults and you meet our every need. You know exactly what we stand in need of. And Lord, we know that you can and that you will. Bless now the preacher. Make our pastor strong. Give him confidence. Lord, let him sound like a horn, a trumpet. And his voice will go out in all the land. Men, women, boys, and girls will come crying, "What must I do to be saved?" Lord, save somebody today. And please save me. In the name of Jesus. Redeemed of the Lord, say amen. 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 And amen. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Make a noise. So many. It ought to be a joyful noise, a loud, thunderous praise. Come on and bless him. Everybody's got something to be thankful for. Amen. Everybody's got something to be thankful for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Grab your Bibles, letter to the church at Colossae. After the Philippian letter was written and read, now the letter to Colossae is now upon us. Special delivery has come nigh unto you today from the letter. It's written by Paul to the church at Colossae, chapter 1. And since we don't have a whole lot of your patience left, we're going to have to get right to it. Amen? Amen. Amen. I know y'all got things to do. Amen. I want to read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses of the critical points I want to preach. In verse 9, he says to the church, "So we have continued praying for you ever since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you a complete understanding of what he wants to do in your lives, and we ask him to make you wise with spiritual wisdom. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and you will continually do good, kind things for others. All the while, you will learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with his glorious power. so that you will have all the patience and endurance you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father who has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to God's holy people, watch this now, who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the one who rules in the kingdom of darkness. And he has brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God has purchased our freedom with his blood and has forgiven all our sins. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to take up just a little more time in verse 11 where he says to them, again from the New Living Translation, thank you, ushers. Thank you so much. Thank you, choir. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Thank all of you. He says, we are praying that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power. So you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy. Amen. Help me just a moment here. God bless you. I know it's crowded. You ain't got no room and all that kind of stuff. Just wall-to-wall church folk. Amen. That's a good thing. Amen. But would you do me a favor and see if you can muster up a smile? Amen. Under these crowded and climactic conditions. The atmosphere is changing in here. You know, they say that certain people bring this heat factor when they come. Amen. So smile and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor's going to preach. When you learn wrong, you live wrong. Amen. That's what I want to talk about. When you learn wrong, you live wrong. Let me get right to it today because we're just in a situation where so many wonderful things have happened already today. But there is I mentioned this in Christian Academy, and I want to talk very quickly about it. On the news the other day, they had a segment where these atheist folk are putting up billboards around our area in encouraging people not to worship the Lord on Christmas Sunday morning. And they're targeting our young people. And this group has done this thing. It's a misinformation campaign is what it really is. And they are saying to our young people that you have a choice and that you don't have to choose God. Now, if that ain't a bunch of foolishness, I don't know what foolishness is. But here's the real dig, Jesse. They are suggesting to us that they are doing this, not that they are so much trying to stir up trouble, but they say they want to start a conversation. Well, Deacon Davis and I talked about this morning, and here's the first part of the conversation they ought to have. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, if you learn wrong, you're going to live wrong. If that's not a sign of why Christian education is critical in the times in which we live, you don't see the sign. This is a movement of a group of people who suck up God's air, eat God's food, spend God's money foolishly on billboards, and yet try to tell us there is no God. Oh, there is a God. And the first thing they ought to do is thank God that he is kind to fools and babies. Amen. And so it is, we come to this particular writing and there's a lengthy discourse here where Paul is compelled to write this letter because what's happening in the text, Jesse, is Paul has gotten word that there are some false teachings going on. A group of men have come into this congregation and have begun trying to stir up misinformation as it relates to God.
Now, here's what's interesting to me. I won't take up too much time. I need a little time, Eric. Don't look like that. But what's interesting to me is, for a man in jail, Paul sure know a whole lot about what's going on in the church.
Well,
amen. I mean, Paul is in a prison all the way over there in Rome, and yet he knows what's going on in the church. And said, now here's where it is. And says, not only do I know about it, but I'm going to say something about it.
Come on, Pastor.
What are you saying, Pastor? It amazes me how people who live right here in our neighborhood not only don't know what's going on, but don't even take an interest in what's going on in the church. People can talk about God's church like a dirty dog, and church folk won't say nothing. They can talk about the preacher. They can talk about the building. They can talk about how we spend our money. They can talk about how long we stay. And all we do is sit there and go, ain't I? No, you got to say something. You got to say something. And you ain't in jail. You right here. And when people talk about the things of God, who better to defend God than the people of God?
Well,
somebody ought to say amen right there. And then not only that, there's another thing I noticed, Lewis, that while he is in prison, he had not forgotten how to pray.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, he hadn't forgotten how to pray. He's praying for the people. Look what he says in verse 3. He said, we're always praying. And then that second little thing I want to throw out there as I try to hurry along. If Paul can find it of necessity to pray in prison, there ought to be some praying in these here pews.
Come on now.
Amen. I'm always disappointed at our prayer responses. This man is in prison and he's still praying.
Yeah.
Daniel was under edict not to pray and still prayed.
Yes, he was.
They were told not to mention that name and they mentioned that name.
Yeah.
We don't have none of that going on now, and we can't get half our congregation to show up on prayer night. Tell your neighbor
something wrong with that.
And here's what's wrong with it. If you learn wrong, you're going to live wrong.
Yes.
And if you don't pray for power, you ain't going to have no power.
Well.
Amen. So it is. Paul found out that there was some heresies going on. He found out that people were coming along confusing the people. Confusion messes up communion. Confusion messes up the ministry and its forward abilities. Because when the people are confused, they can't work together. Amen. In the military, Brother Thomas, you remember this one. Whenever there was confusion, we would say it's like a Chinese fire drill. Now, I don't know nothing about Chinese. Now, I don't know how they do their fire drill. But apparently, they're confused when they have fire drill. But in the church, there ought not to be confusion, especially when it comes from those who are engaging us in doctrinal conversations. Amen. That's why I tell y'all all the time, not only should you bring your book, but open up your book. Paul found out about this, Audrey, and said, no. He pens a letter. But notice this, Dean Davis. Before he pens, he prays. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying some of y'all, before y'all open your mouth, y'all ought to pray. Before you go to publishing stuff on Facebook and Snapchat, you ought to pray. Because a whole lot of what we're saying ain't going to amount to a hill of beans if it ain't blessed by the power of God. You ought to pray without ceasing.
Amen.
I'm trying to hurry. And so it is, Eric. He wrote this letter to the church. And I want to tell you right now that I agree with Paul. There's no other place where I believe that soundness ought to be of the utmost importance than in the church.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all, I should have gotten more than them 200 amen. I'm telling you right now that we are in a critical stage in the house of God, among the people of God, where if we don't get this right now, the costs are too great. That's why these billboards can go up and nobody makes a whole lot of noise about it.
Amen.
Amen. Next thing you know, beloved God, we're going to be talking about same-sex marriage. Oh, wait a minute. We already missed that one. Oh, okay. Next thing you know, they're going to take prayer out of school. Oh, we already missed that one. Well, next thing you know, they're going to tell us we can't discipline our children. Oh, wait a minute. We already missed that. You see what I'm saying? When these misinformation campaigns stir up, the church got to step up. Paul said, no, we ain't going to have that. I stood in this pulpit for 19 years. And I told y'all a whole lot of stuff. I have preached a whole lot of different kinds of sermons. I have tried to do everything I know how to do. But if there's one thing I do know, I kept this book open.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I kept this book open. And from this book, there ought to be some life transformations among these people.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Can I preach a little bit? If there's one thing, Sandra, I know about opening up this book, is that it has life transformation powers if the people will let the power transform their life.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, it's right in the text. Paul says, based on what y'all have been learning, we ought to see something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nudge your name, tell them we ought to see something.
I
just believe, Marion, that Bible preaching and Bible teaching ought to transform people's lives. Now, here's the issue, Lewis. I'm trying to hurry. Here's the issue. How are we going to transform lives when folk trying to mail it in?
Come on, Pastor.
We can't reach you when you're trying to be unreachable.
Well,
we can't teach you when you declare you unteachable.
Well,
we can't change you when you tell us, don't worry about me. Y'all ain't saying nothing. See how quiet y'all got right there? I'm telling you now that Bible teaching and Bible preaching has transforming powers if the people will let the power transform them.
Well,
amen. Right in the text. Can I read a little bit? I'm going to hurry. It's right there. Come down to verse 6. He said, it's changing lives everywhere. Nudge your neighbor and tell them Brookville is not the exception to transformative change. Some of y'all don't want to talk to each other. See how quiet y'all? See how y'all looking at me? The power of God is not geographically limited.
Yeah.
I'm tired of people saying it won't happen in Lynchburg. I'm tired of people saying we ain't got no good preachers in Lynchburg. I'm tired of people saying our choirs ain't good enough. I'm tired of people saying we ain't smart enough. This book can change lives if you open up the book. Amen. 19 years of my life, I have spent trying to convince us to let God do it. Let God do it. He said, listen, it's changing lives everywhere. And then he said this. He said, it should have happened on the first day you heard the word.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, some of y'all been sitting around here longer than I have. God bless you, preacher. Some of y'all been sitting up in here on a limited schedule. I don't know what's taking you so long. It should have happened on the first day.
Amen.
First time you heard the word. It's right there in the Bible. I'm preaching out the book.
Amen.
It's right there. He said, listen. He said, it started changing them the first day you heard it.
Right.
But Jasmine, he said something else. He said, when you understood it.
Yeah.
See, all you're getting, instead of trying to get a car, trying to get a house, trying to get some more hair, trying to get popular, what you should have been chasing after was understanding.
Amen. Well,
what I need from you is understanding.
Well, see it then.
No, I know y'all don't know that, Deputy. You saw me hit that key right there. You sit up in this church and look at me like I'm crazy. I ain't crazy. I got the book open.
Yeah.
I can read. I can relay it,
yes.
And I can rely on it.
Yes.
Everybody in this house have got to stop learning wrong so you can start living right.
Come on, Pastor.
Come on, talk to me. God is too near,
yeah,
for us to act like we so far away.
Come on now.
God has been too good to us.
Yeah.
His voice is too loud, too pure,
yeah,
too holy for us to sit up in his house and act like we don't know what that preacher talking about. in the day that you hear his voice, that ain't next week. That ain't I'm coming back next Sunday.
Come on now, come on.
That's Reverend, you got me here. Go on and do it to me.
Yes, yes.
Go on and hit me with my sins and hit me with my shortcomings. Make me look at myself. Because you can't be transformed if you think you got it going on. Every one of us in here ought to look in that mirror and say, shame on me. Come on, talk to me. All right, y'all, I talk about myself. I get up every day and I am my worst critic. Amen. Now, some people, Deacon Walker, I can't hang around for so long. Amen. But I'm going to be honest with you. There's sometimes I don't even want to hang around me. I look in that mirror and say, Leroy, you can do better than that. You could have preached better. You could teach better. You could be a better father. You could be a better husband. You can be a better... Y'all ain't talking to me. Oh, I ain't talking about y'all. I'm just talking about me. But you been honest with yourself. And when you get honest with yourself, you can find a better self. But our problem is we like it wrong. We want to go to a church where they tell us we're going to get rich. They tell us how wonderful we are. They let us in 45 minutes, we gone. They tell us they don't want to waste our time and we're just going to get right to it and you don't have to give, just give out of the freeness of your heart. We want that wrong kind of preaching. Then we go around telling our friend, I don't do that old traditional church, all that jumping up down, all that. If ain't no celebration, ain't no confirmation. I celebrate when something happened in my life. Yes. Amen. I ain't going to get to the church and stop celebrating.
That's right.
Amen. I sit there the other night when the Cowboys was playing. I was jumping up and down, flipping over and all kinds of stuff. I was looking for something to break. Because when we was in trouble, I said, I got to find something around here to break. Because we lose this game, going to get ugly. But boy, when we squeaked that thing out, I was jumping up and down. And how am I going to come to the house of God and not celebrate? Yeah. Dallas ain't done nothing for me. But the Lord, ooh, y'all ain't talking
everything.
The Lord has done everything.
Yes, sir.
He woke me up this morning.
Yes, sir.
He started me on my way.
Well,
he been better to me than I've been to myself.
Well,
and when I come into the presence of the Lord, don't you look at me like that. Don't you tell me to hush. Don't tell me don't take all that. You ain't been through what I've been through. You ain't waiting on what I'm waiting on. You ain't feeling what I'm feeling. I will bless the Lord. And right learning says that the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. Nudge your neighbor and tell me, ain't no time to get quiet.
Ain't no time to get quiet.
Good as the Lord are been to you. Then he said, listen, it should happen the first time you heard him. Good Bible teaching. Comes out the book. He said, listen, here it is. I'm going to have to pause. We'll come back. The Lord, let us do. He said, here's what we're doing. Right then, verse 9 and 10. He said, we're asking God on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm preaching.
Yes, sir.
Some of y'all ain't got sense enough to ask for it. So I'm going to ask for it on your behalf.
Ah.
Amen. You know how I know you ain't got sense enough to ask for it? You won't even come to a prayer meeting. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Bible said, let your requests be made known unto God, yeah, which is prayer.
Yeah.
Some of us ain't never been to a prayer service in the 19 years I've been your pastor.
Mm.
You ain't come this way. But soon something happened in your house, you want us to pray. Mm. Then you got nerds, where the pastor? Where you at? You don't come to my house, I ain't coming to your house. You don't come to his house, I ain't come to your house. Ain't nobody saying nothing to me. Ain't nobody saying nothing. Ain't nobody saying nothing. Jesus said it this way. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. You don't let me in, I ain't gonna worry about it. That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you now that he says we gonna ask for it for you because you don't know how to ask for it yourself. That's good preaching, ain't it? Y'all didn't see it? Look at verse 9 and 10. It's right there. It's in the book. It's in the book. He says, so what we've done is we've asked God. Sister McKenzie, you've been with me a long time. Harmony, she was the deputy before you were the deputy. She got so busy I had to get a new deputy. But Sandra used to be my amen. I would often say, Sister McKenzie, didn't I say that? And she said, mm-hmm. I said, Sister McKenzie, ain't right there? And she said, mm-hmm. So I'm gonna bring her back in, because you remember a long time ago, I said, don't never let anybody want more for you than you want for yourself. Didn't I say that? All right. And so I'm telling you now, I have spent 19 years asking God to give y'all what some of y'all act like you don't want. But can I tell you something? Aaron, can I tell you something? You may not know you need it, but I know you do. Some of y'all have been living all kinds of ways. Some of y'all ought to be ashamed. Me too. I tell you, I just talk about me sometimes. That way I know it's true. Now, I done heard some stuff about some of y'all, but I ain't going to talk about that. But I talk about me, because in my life, I could have done better. There's some thing I pray God, some of y'all don't never find out about me. Some of y'all ought to go and hang y'all head too right along through there. Some of y'all ought to not let me stand here by myself. You all say, me too, Reverend. Pastor, when they do the background check, I sure hope they get one digit in my social security number wrong so they can pull up somebody else's stuff. Come on, talk to me.
Well,
when they ask you to put down your last five addresses, leave the one off with the record, you know. You didn't ever get arrested in Butte, Montana. Put that down there. But he says, we're asking for you because it's apparent to us you don't know what to ask for yourself. His Bible verse. Bible says that many of us pray, but we pray wrong.
Right.
I'm going to stop long here. I'm running out of time. We pray wrong. He said, you ask, but you ask wrong. That's why you need the preacher.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
That's why you need the preacher. Yes, you need the preacher to come along and do corrective conversations with
come on,
God.
Man.
You need the preacher to say, wait a minute, Lord, they said that wrong. Here's what they're really asking you. Come on, talk to me. Remember that old song, somebody prayed for me, had me on, and you know that they always throw the preacher in there, my preacher prayed for me. That's what you need. Point up here and say, Pastor, please pray for me. Now see, some of y'all so hard here, you won't even do that. That's how simple it is. That's why I know you live in Rome. You don't even have enough courage in the man of God to encourage me to go to God to encourage you.
I set you up right there, son.
If I had a preacher like y'all got, I'd stay in his ear. I stay in my pastor. Yeah, I say, look at Pastor, when you go to your prayer time today, pray for me that my family, because I look at your family. Or pray for me that my house, because I look at your house. Y'all ain't talking to me. He said, we're going to ask on your behalf. At least tell me what you need.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. See, we are a most hard-headed people. Here it is. He said, y'all let people come in there and tell y'all anything. Papyrus comes to him and said, Paul, we got a problem back at Colossae. You got these people coming in and they telling the folk all kinds of stuff, and some of the folk buying in. That's why we church hop, Tom. We hear about this young preacher over here, or we hear about this church they done built over there, and we hear how nice that preacher is, and he don't talk about tithing, and he don't tell us we got to come to Bible study. Everything is, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. And next thing you know, we on our little buggy. We running over there. And he ain't helping us none. We were raggedy when we got there. We raggedy while we're there. And we going to die raggedy. And then look at God when we get before him and say, I'm sorry. He going to say, you had a good preacher. You had a great pastor. I know Leroy, I can vouch for him, but you got so caught up in all of that convenience. Because they have church just for an hour, or they got this many services, and you can pick the one you want. And the fact of the matter is, watch this, it's not necessarily the service you go to, it's the service you render when you leave. Ain't nobody talking to me, Darlene, they don't talk to me now. He said, listen, we trying to help y'all. He said, because when you have spiritual wisdom and understanding, that's going to change your life.
Amen.
It's right in the text. He said, we're asking God to make you wise. Notice this, Jasmine. He said, we're not asking God to make you rich. We had some people leave us back in years 8, 9 because we wouldn't switch over to that prosperity thing. You remember? They kept coming here talking, Lord told me to tell you, we're going to do this and we're going to have that. And I said, no, Lord, first of all, you're not the pastor around here. Stop telling my sheep all that backdoor prophecy. You remember? I ain't calling no name. We had 4 or 5 around here trying to backdoor prophecy in our church, talking about the Lord say we're going to be this. And I said, Lord ain't said that. First of all, we were still trying to get folk to tithe. Why would the Lord make us rich when we robbing him? And they left. I ain't going to Brooklyn. Y'all pastor, he don't believe in prosperity. Listen, if there's anybody that believes in prosperity, it's Leroy. Amen. I believe that the Lord will supply all I need. I bet you I got 25, 35 witnesses in here right now. We can stand up and say, Pastor, you sure did. Didn't I tell you the Lord was going to fix it for you? The Lord was going to make a way. The Lord's going to pay your bill. The Lord's going to help you. I ain't never told you the Lord wants you to be humble and broke, walk around in sackcloth and ashes. I believe in the prosperity of God, but I also believe in the Word of God.
Yeah.
And the Word of God don't get pimped nor played. It is obedience and sacrifice that the Lord requires. Amen. That's spiritual wisdom and intellect. And then he said, I'm going to find my way home here in a minute. He says, listen, you guys, you people, you need to understand that once you start this, right there in verse 10, he said, the way you live, oh, it's going to bless God. Amen. Amen. I'm not finished. I got some more. We'll do it next week, Lord said, same. But can I ask a question? Is there at least a couple hundred of y'all in here that can say with assurance that you know that the way you living right now, today,
come on, Pastor,
is honoring God?
Well.
See how y'all got quiet right there? See how y'all got quiet? No, need us fooling ourselves, is it? He said the way you live. See, you know what the problem is? I was in a conference, Deacon Walker, a little while back, and lady stood up talking about, well, I don't see why the pastors won't be more transparent. We need to know how the pastors live. They stand up and say, and 2 or 3 more preachers, I said, the devil is a lie. You need to be looking at my life. Come on, talk to me.
Come on now.
You need to be looking at your life. You ain't going to be able to get in heaven and say, well, my pastor did this, that. No. He said this, the way you live. Y'all ain't talking to me. James, they done got quiet on me. Can you get that section over there riled up? He said, the way you live. Watch this. It's in the text. Tell your neighbor, he preaching out the Bible. He said, the way you live will always honor and please. See how some of y'all looking at me? Because you and I both know that the reason you're living wrong, because you've been learning wrong. I told him this morning, we ought not have no roller coaster worship. Worship ought always be high and lifted up. Worship ought always be exuberant and exciting. Always ought to be engaging. Some of us sit around in the church like we waiting on a bingo number to be called or Pokino or something like that. No. When you came in here, you should have brought your worship. You should have been thinking about ways to honor and bless the Lord in your own little section. Y'all ain't saying that. He said, if you get this right, the way you live will always. Some of y'all got Sunday-itis. Some of y'all think because you put on the right color pantyhose and the right kind of dress. You know, first Sunday, we chained it up a little bit around here. We just put on all that black and white. Like that's going to make us holy. You know, we came here with our little thing on our head, you know, and our little gloves. Oh, yeah, we were putting on the dog back then, but that didn't make us holy because some of the same folk underneath all that were crooked, corrupt, evil, hateful, liars, adulterers, murderers, robbers. Y'all ain't talking to me. Because we can't save your soul trying to save your clothes. He said, no. He said, the way you live, look at the name, say, it's on you now. See, some of y'all scared to even talk to them because you know they're going to backlash. They don't need a backlash. I'm going to pause. I'm going to find me a way to holler a little bit. I'm done. He said, listen, the way you live will always. See, you can't come here on Sunday morning or signify.
Well,
praise the Lord. Bless his holy name. Greetings and salutations. Oh, to God be the glory. And then when you get outside, in about 2 hours, that facade done crumble. Now you cussing and spitting and hawking at people, and somebody blow at you in traffic, and they blowing to say hi, you blow them back and say, you know. Every horn ain't hateful.
Right.
Anybody ever had that happen? Somebody blow at you and they pull up beside you. Oh, child, I thought you was correcting my bad driving back there. Amen. He said, always. Now, listen. I got more, but I'll do it next time. He said, it is evident that somebody done got in your head. You don't come to Bible study. I've been here all this time. And I'm looking out here right now, and I can tell you right now that half of y'all, two-thirds of y'all, ain't never came to Bible study. In fact, I told my wife the other night that I was hurt last Thursday. We're getting smaller and smaller. It ain't cold yet. It ain't even snowed yet. I looked at that UVA, that Virginia Tech and Clemson game. Down there in Atlanta, man, they were wall to wall. All them folks drove all the way from Blacksburg to get beat up like that. But they were all in their colors. I said, we're going to have a color Sunday and see how that work out. Didn't walk. All of them down there, hokey, hokey, hokey high. And I thought to myself, I can't even get folk who live across the street to come celebrate Jesus.
Come on now.
They drove all the way to Atlanta. Got a hotel, bought food and provisions, 80 proof and above, to go down there. Ain't no salvation there. Wasn't no word of God being preached. Wasn't no lives being changed. It was all in good fun. Well, I have fun right here. When I come in the house of the Lord, I have a good time. I get to praise him and get to lift up my hands. We get to do the wave. We get to do the stomp. We get to step. We get to do all that in the house of God. Why? Because the Lord has changed me. Grandma said, I know I've been changed. Anybody know they've been changed? Look at the name and say, neighbor, it's a good thing you didn't meet me back then. Oh, look at here. Some of y'all, if you'd have met us back then, you wouldn't have, you'd have called the police on us. You'd have turned us in because we were not only living like fools, we were fools for real.
Come on.
But thank God you met somebody. I feel my help now. Thank God you met somebody. Thank God you met somebody. Who did you met Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Paul was on the road to Damascus and the Lord stepped out in front of him. And told him, said, look here, boy, you've been living wrong. And I'm going to change it. How many glad that you met him on the road? Listen, I don't know what road you were on, but you ought to be glad you met him on the road. Look at your name and say, I met him. I met him and he changed my life. The Lord told me I wasn't living right. Told me I was drinking too much, smoking too much, hanging out too late. But the Lord turned me around. Anybody, the Lord turned you around. I'm trying to leave you. He turned you around. He said, look here, you can't keep living like that. That's why they say he brought me from a mighty long way. Anybody been brought from a mighty long way? Look at your name and say, neighbor, if my friends could see me now, they wouldn't recognize me because I'm lifting up holy hands. I'm singing unto the Lord a new song. I'm telling God how much I appreciate him. Anybody know that the Lord will make you glad? I say, won't he make you glad? Anybody know that the Lord is your shepherd?
Yes, he is.
The Lord is your song and your welfare. Anybody know that God has been good to us? I say, God has been good to us. I say, God has been good to us. Everybody ought to be able to wave your hand. Somebody ought to be able to jump up and down because the Lord has been good to us. I could have been dead and sleeping in my grave, but the Lord was good to me. He told me to rise. He told me to shine. He told me to give God the glory. Is there anybody in this here room that's so glad you gave him the glory? Aren't you glad right now that you can still lift up your voice? Aren't you glad right now that you can wave your hands and tell God, thank him? I could have been dead. I might ought to should have been dead. But the Lord looked beyond my fault and met my every need. He picked me up and turned me around. Won't he do it? Can't he do it? Did he do it? Say yeah. If the Lord's been good to you, you ought to stand on your feet. If the Lord's been good to you, you ought to wave your hand. If the Lord done anything, you ought to sing your little song. You ought to tell him thank him. You ought to tell him thank you. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about the house. Don't worry about the car. Then why should I thank him? I'll tell you why. He died. I said he died. They stretched him wide. He died. Didn't he die? Didn't the blood come streaming down? I said he died. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, he died. But early, 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 one Sunday morning, didn't he rise? He got up. He got up. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I didn't just hear about it. I know about it. I tried him for myself. Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? Say yeah. Won't he give you joy? Won't he give you peace? Won't he give you love? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. I'm going to learn better so I can live better.
Yes, sir.
I made up my mind. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I ain't turning around. Look at another name and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
You've come too far to turn back now. You learned too much to live like that now. You've been through too much to quit now. Tell them to hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Yes, sir. We'll come back next time. I got some good fat meat down here in the middle of this. That just appetizer. I got some fat meat. You know, they took up too much time. You know, talking about that other stuff earlier. I don't know who that was. All that time, Eric. We're going to need one of them clocks with a time on it or something. I got some fat meat down in here, though. We're going to talk about it. Lord said, sing. Amen. But before we go today, it's a little late. I'm sorry. I do apologize for that. But let me do this. My brother, Deacon Walker, always gives me the wink and the nod on this one. But if you're in this room today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ because you didn't know no better, you got caught up in a misinformation campaign, somebody tell you that you don't have to choose God. But let me say this very quickly. Why would you not choose the God that's already chose you? I mean, that's a no-brainer, ain't it? I mean, if somebody done already picked you, why won't you consent to that and say, well, if he sees something in me, I'm going to hang around, see what I can see in him. In him, we see the fullness of the Godhead. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Somebody told me, say, you do better if you didn't preach so long. I said, listen, good as God's been to me, I can preach all night.
That's right.
Amen. And if the redeemed of the Lord know anything about the Lord, they wouldn't be in no hurry neither.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. There's a little commercial, Eric, that's running right now. The guy goes in the pizza parlor, get a pizza, and he opened the box and some of the pizza already gone. And he look at the guy, and the little pizza guy said, well, you want all of it? The God said, yeah. He said, you expect to have all of it? He said, yeah. And that's how I feel about God. I want all of it.
Yes, sir.
I don't want part of him. I ain't in no hurry. I want all of it. Everything God said in this book, I want it.
Yeah.
I said back in 2003 that my prayer to God became, Lord, I don't want to just read about it. I want to see it. I want to see the blind regain their sight. I want to see the lame start walking again. I really believe in the resurrection of Christ. I pray that in my lifetime I'll see somebody dead wake up. Amen. They ain't got nothing to do with being a heretic. No. I really believe that if Jesus can stop a mama's son on the way to the cemetery, if he wrote it, I want to see it. Not in disbelief, but that God would get a greater glory. He woke Lazarus up after 4 days. God Almighty, I believe he can do it. Turn water into wine. I want to see it. I don't want to just read the story. I want to be an eyewitness in the story. So I want you to learn right so you can live right. So maybe that's what we'll call it next week. Since this was when you learn wrong, you live wrong. Maybe next week we'll call part two, when you learn right, you live right. That's what I do. I can do that. That's what I'm going to make it easy. But I got some fat meat in here. You all come on back and get some of that fat meat. There's a whole lot of y'all in here today. Don't come back here next week and we slack. Come on back next week. Amen. Because we on that weekly thing now. Not weekly, like week, but weekly. Some of y'all already planning not to be here next week. Tell yourself, I'm changing my mind right now. See y'all scared. See how y'all talk to me like that? Why y'all treat me like that? Well, don't y'all feel some kind of way when I'm not here?
Amen.
I feel like that when you're not here.
Amen.
Amen. I do. I look at, I know y'all. I know the Brodies, the Walkers. I know the Beverlys. I know the McKenzies, Thomases. I know you. Susan, Myra, Monpo. I look down there and see Louise. I feel better. I know it. Now they tried to fool me today. Sister Woodson came in and was sitting on the other side. Church was leaning the wrong way. She slid back in her regular spot. Balance. I know when you ain't here. Just like you know when I'm not here. But I know this. We can come back next week. Lord say the same. I got some fat meat in here. Nudge your neighbor and say, I believe that fat meat gonna cook good. You know, good meat make its own gravy. See, I believe we gonna have some good gravy here. So while you're standing, I've taken up an unusual amount of your time. I do apologize. I really do. My intention to get you out of here. My little 10-minute sermon got long somehow. Now. I don't know what happened. I'm just on the first page. I didn't even get to slide the page. I work hard on preaching. And as hard as I work on preaching, you ought to work on listening. Don't cut your preacher short. Sitting in that man done put all that work in that. We better hear what the man got to say. Let the man talk. Amen. I believe that was the staple singers. Say, let the man with the Bible in his hand go on and let the man talk. Amen. You can't respect him. Respect yourself. Let the man talk. Nudge your neighbor and say, Pastor, go and talk. You might as well let him talk. Amen. You might as well enjoy it. Ain't no need of it. You think rolling your eyes at him going to stop him, he just go more down on. Amen. Come on, let's pray together. Grab somebody and say, listen, we gonna get it right so we can live right. Grab your neighbor. Grab your friends. Amen. There you go. That's the way. You know, when I was in kindergarten, that's how we traveled. We traveled holding hands. And you know, we would look for a favorable hand to hold. Amen. So you can enjoy the journey. It is better to travel with someone who's going the way you're going than to find yourself parting at crossroad conditions. I'm convinced of God, Sandra, that we are nearing some crossroad conditions. We really are. We are. God's going to test us real soon. And we're going to have to decide which way we're going. Hear me well, children. The season is coming upon us. Here's what the Lord said. The Lord said, pray that your flight doesn't come in the winter. It's going to be cold and brittle. I was outside the other night with my wife's dogs, and I thought to myself, you know, we need summer dogs. It's cold out here. And then they taking their time, you know, out there running around and all that kind of stuff. Y'all know what we out here for, I said to them, Deacon Walker. They looked at me like, look at here, man. We can't come out unless you let us out. And since you done let us out, we going to enjoy the out. See, I think for my dogs, you know. Everything to me is a conversation. And then I looked at them. I said, well, you know what, Leroy, that's right. They've been in the house all day. They out in that egg. They sniffing everything. Running. I said, well, you know what, let them enjoy. I went back in the house. They closed the door. I figured they know what they're doing out there. They don't need me staying out there. And sure enough, when they got ready to come back, they were scratching on the door. I said, now, that's smart. See, Leroy, you'd have been out there. Standing around there, man. Let them enjoy that. Now, you're saying to yourself, now, Pastor, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm telling you. There are some folk who don't understand the blessedness of being in this house. And they couldn't wait to get outside. So let them run around. We got to let them run around. Scratching and snipping and barking at everything. But I believe that in their heart of hearts, they're going to come back to that door. And here's what a good master does. Here's what a good housekeeper does. Here's what a good shepherd does. He lets them in. And see, when they come in, they're going to have mud on their feet. And they're going to bring all kinds of stuff from the outside. But we clean them up. It is our responsibility to make sheep. In Brookville, we're coming very close to a critical place. Some of us have looked around the house and wondered, where is so-and-so and what's happening with... Listen, that's ministry. That's ministry. This is what I'm going to say this in the leadership meeting, but I'm going to say it tonight, this afternoon. You have no right to be a critic if you will not help us as a conformist. If you're going to help us conform some things, then your criticism will be appreciated. But if all you're going to do is criticize and not be a part of the conforming process, shut up. Shh. That's the easy way to say it. It's the easy way to say it. Shh. Why? Because this is us. None of us are going to survive by ourselves. We're a family. Madeline's my family. Coco. Lady D is my family. Eric, love him. Love him with all my heart. I think about him often. Mrs. Scott is my family. She never had a son as a mother birthed, but in the body of Christ, I'm her son. But I'm also her pastor. And I would do what a son would do for a mother. I love Mrs. Scott tremendously. Erin is my sister, my family. Jordan, Christian, Tom, Carolyn. And if we don't think like that, shame on us. Because that means you're learning wrong. And if you're learning wrong, you're living wrong. This young lady, I've seen your face many times. You gave me your name once. I'm going to do better. But I've seen you out and about, and I know I said that. Sister Darlene told me today that she's not a disciple. I said, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Don't fool yourself. Don't make us come to your house. But listen to what I'm saying. This is about learning. The learning enhances the living. And I want y'all to live enhanced lives. I don't want another one of y'all living beneath y'all privilege. I will do everything God gives me to do to you, for you. I will keep this book open. I promise you that. To transform, until every life in this ministry is transformed, I pray the sun does not go down. We've lost some folk. We really have. But they got to get that run out of their spirit. They're going to get it out of them. And the only thing we can do is keep praying. That's why I keep trying to tell y'all how critical prayer is for this ministry. We're losing power because we're not praying. Sandra, you'll remember there was a time when we prayed around here like we used to pray, we were stronger. Y'all remember? Some of y'all remember. Our prayer meeting, we used to have 6 a.m. prayer. Remember? And man, we would have folk coming in and going out. That's when Brookville was in its best days. And we kept moving it around because folk kept saying, well, if you put it here, you put it there. And we should have stuck to our guns. But that's all right. We learned. And we're going to live. Yes, darling. You know, because you're the pastor's daughter, I let you interrupt my speech. I was on a roll. Okay. See what I'm up against, Deacon Walker? This is, the Bible says a man can't rule well in his own house. But thank you, baby. I appreciate it. And that's what we do. That's really what we do. And see, that's what we used to do, really. We would call it out, didn't we? We call it out. Somebody would raise their hand and say, Pastor, and we say, all right. And then everybody else would get their courage up and say, well, if they're going to get one in, I ain't going to miss out on the buffet line either. Thank you, baby. That took us back a minute. Yes, sir. Good news right there. Amen. Amen. That's good news. Amen. So here's what I want y'all to do. I know it's time for y'all to go. God bless you today. Next week, we'll fix it. I would say the same. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to declare in your own spirit, within your own constitution. Don't do me no favors right now. Do yourself a favor. But I need you to declare in your own spirit, in your own constitution, that you're going to live better. Now, here's what living better requires. First step to living better is learning better. Then listening better. Then being led better. So I can go on. You know, y'all know me. I can take them out there. So I need you today not to walk out of here with wrong living. You need to tell yourself, I'm not living wrong no more. Now, are you going to be in a struggle? Yes, you are. The devil is going to come after you with drugs, alcohol, women, men, all manner of proclivities and vices, but you're going to have to take a stand. See, the world ain't going to stop coming at you because you make a vow to God. In fact, when you make a vow, the devil ramps it up. But your pastor's going to help you. Because I'm going to do what verse 9 and 10 say. I'm going to keep asking God for Tom and for Harmony and for Louise and Myra. I'm going to keep asking God for those I don't see. I got a list of all of them. I keep it in my bed, at my house rather, and I put it under my pillow at times and sleep on it. See, I call their names. I got a little highlighter. I got stars by four. See, God, they're out there. Don't think this is the only place I see y'all now, because I know this ain't the only place y'all see me. Stopped by the other day to get my car washed. It was dreary. I said, Mitchell, why you keep your car clean? Don't you know it's going to rain? I said, because my church folks see me. They can't see their pastor riding around in a dirty car because I'm always talking about cleanliness and high standards. He said, you know, Reverend, I never thought about that. He said, well, all preachers ought to think like that. I said, they ought to. He said, I wonder why you always come here with your nice shirts on and stuff like that. I said, because I'm a pastor. People can't see me walking around in old cut-off breeches and flip-flops. They said, poor preacher. Church ain't doing him right. I make y'all look good. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you think, you'll change. And so today, let's make a declaration of our own constitution. Because until your constitution is right, this constitution ain't going to fit you. You got to be receptive to God. So you're going to fix your constitution first. And then we'll get this constitution in you. And so for Brandy and for Sister Walker and for others, Sister Reverend Murrell, Sister Hilda, Sister Erna, Sister Ware, anybody else? Come on, call some names. Talk to me. Amen. All right. Okay, there you go. Okay. All right, Ed Jones. Amen. Okay. Very good. Yes, sir.
good news right there. There we go. We got a witness to the effect. Amen. Fret not. Amen. All right. That's all right. The Lord knows. When you mention things, and be mindful, God knows deeper thoughts than you're able to even bring to your own remembrance. So he knows. He knows who you encounter. Amen. Okay. Absolutely. All right. Amen. All right. Good news. All right. What was she studying? Oh, she doubling down. All right. Bad to the bone. We could use her. Yes. All right. All right. Now, here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do. We've heard. And what we need to do now is simply in our own spiritual way, simply in our own constitution, just agree with these folk who have lifted up names and circumstances as touching and agreeing. There are people that you don't even know them, but your prayers are effective. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. Okay? Amen, Reverend Anderson. Very good. Very good. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, darling. Twice, that's good, that's all right, but it shows you that that's what we want to do. We want to have them little conversations right here and say, okay, amen. All right, and you're looking good too. You know, there's a saying, it sounds a bit cliche-ish, but it applies to you. You don't look like what you've been through. You don't. That's right. But you don't look like what you look good. That's right. But I'm just telling you, as an affirmation of that mercy and grace and favor, you look good. Amen. And that's a blessing. Amen. Yes, ma'am. All right. All right. There you go. God, you're so wonderful, and all around this room, your children have lifted up the names of friends and relatives, even strangers. Some of us have passed by people who have engaged us in conversations and we got interested. And now, Lord, we're making our investment into that circumstance by lifting up prayers for that son, that daughter, that husband, that father, a stroke victim, colon, stage 1, 2, 3, 4, dialysis, body pains, fibromyalgia, high blood pressure. There are testimonies all around this room of what you've already done. You've touched men with prostate issues. You've touched ladies with breast cancer, ovarian cancer. You've touched sons and daughters with allergies. Foods that could not be eaten can now be eaten. Oh God, fragrances that could not be worn can now be worn. You have done great things among this small people. And so, God, our testimony to all of our sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and friends and neighbors is that the Lord has done it before. He can do it again. And not only can he, but he will. He will. Just as Bartimaeus stood alongside the road, the first instinct of the crowd was, be quiet, leave him alone. But Lord, when you call him, they encourage him and said, go now. The master calleth thee. Your case has come up. We sang a little song down here that says, Jesus is on the main line. Just tell him what you want. And so God, many of these today have gotten on the main line. Hear and answer their prayers. And here's what we say. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen. Amen. And amen. Hug at least 5 or 6 people. Say something nice to them. And we'll see you next time around. The Lord say the same. God bless you. I am so thankful for you. Love you in Christ Jesus.